Welcome back to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're so glad you joined us today, and we hope that you've been listening, because we're going to continue our series on discipling. But first, before we do that, I just wanted to let you know of the wonderful ladies that we have here with us today. We have our usual Sandy and Tara and myself, Shelly, and we have a special guest who's back with us from the last couple of sessions, Janelle, who is a student down at Grace University.
Yay, Janelle! Hello.
Thank you.
She was with us last week. We just didn't do our intros.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I got so wrapped up in this little light of mine, but we won't torture you by singing.
No. Yeah, that was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Lord help us.
Or the listeners, yeah.
We'll be tuning.
I don't have any tuning.
Okay, Nick, can you fix that, please?
Yeah. Delete.
You'll just be laughing at
it. Intentions were good.
Yes, they were. Right. They were. You know, we've been looking at the anointing of the sinful woman and how she anointed Jesus' feet. Mm-hmm. And so to set the story, anybody feel like they could sum up and tell last week's story up? Little bit for the people, kind of connect us to last week. Anybody feel comfortable? I'll do it again if somebody's not comfortable. Okay, so yes.
Okay.
Anybody?
I'll do it. I'll try.
You could.
Okay. First of all, there's this dude named Simon.
Yay!
And he decides to invite Jesus over for dinner, or supper, as they say in some parts of the country. And so when he's there, Jesus kind of puts his feet up. And in the meantime, a very sinful woman approaches and stands behind him and begins to weep. And she weeps and weeps and weeps to the point that she starts wiping the tears off of Jesus' feet with her hair. And she starts kissing him and putting perfume on Jesus' feet. And as this is happening, Simon is looking and thinking, what is this sinful woman doing here? Why is Jesus, you know, the supposed Savior, why is he allowing this to happen? And so Jesus answers Simon and starts telling him a parable that he so often does. And the parable begins like this. There are two men that owe money. One owes a lot of money, they say about 500 denarii. And there's another blind man who owes approximately 50. And the debt collector decides to dissolve or get rid of the debt. He cleanses them of the debt. And so Jesus asks the question, Simon, which do you think is more, which person do you think loves more because of the debt forgiveness? And Simon says, I suppose it's probably the one with the bigger debt. And Jesus says, you are correct. You have judged correctly. Then Jesus turns to the woman and says, or looks at the woman and has Simon look at her and basically say, look at what this woman is doing. She's a sinful woman, yet she's washing my feet. She's using perfume that is something that is so special and expensive for this woman to be using. And yet she does it selflessly. And he kind of condemns Simon in a way and says, you know, you did nothing, but this sinful woman is giving and giving so selflessly. So then Jesus looks at the woman and says, your sins are forgiven. And the other guests at the dinner say among themselves, who is this that even forgives sinners? And then Jesus says to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace.
Yay, Shelly.
You did it.
That was beautiful.
In my own words, of course.
I'm so proud of you. But that's awesome. That's good. Because now the story will become a part of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, being able to tell it, we end up owning it. And they say if you can hear until 5 times it becomes a part of you. I mean, really,
only 4 more times to go.
You know, it just helps. It helps. And so let's look at some of these customs, some things that we need to know and we need to understand. The first off is that a typical house, if the house was a wealthy person, the way that they would build their home is they would build the house like in a square, and in the center of it would be this open courtyard. And the open courtyard would be the place that they would have like their big meals of this nature. And the custom of the day was that if you were a famous, inviting a famous teacher, a famous rabbi to your house, people as entertainment were allowed to come and walk into the courtyard and fill around where the dinner was happening. Even though they would not be eating, they would not be dining, they were allowed to watch, kind of like going to a live dinner theater, but you're not eating, you're just getting to watch other people eat and have a conversation.
That sounds horrible.
I know, but that was the expectation. And so that should give you more explanation as to, you know, another story, you know, the crumbs, you know, to, you know, falling from the table and everything. The Gentiles would just go in and observe.
Well, and when you first start reading this, you think like it's a personal one-on-one, you know, invitation. And it's really,
it's a big
event.
This is a citywide community open
theater.
Yeah.
And Janelle made a really good point last week when she was talking about Simon, you know, wanting to kind of show off that, you know, who he had. So this makes sense that he would have a lot of audience there.
Yeah. For him, that would be the big deal for him to have the Rabbi Jesus at his house. And there are 3 things that they believe could be the reason why Simon would have invited Jesus to their house. And the first one is that with the intent that he may have, like, really wanted to know, a sympathizer or whatever. But the fact that he started judging Jesus eliminates that. Okay. The second reason they think that maybe Jesus could have come, he invited him to his house, was maybe that he was there to immediately prove that Jesus was wrong. But the fact that he respected Jesus and actually referred to him as rabbi, even though he didn't do the proper greetings, he did give him the proper title. So most commentators think that he wasn't really trying to nail him as doing something wrong. All of the commentators that I researched, and I looked at like 4 or 5 different ones, they think he was probably just, you know, a very wealthy man, and he was accustomed to having the whatever known celebrity of their day to his home because that's what he did. And so he wasn't a yay-sayer, but he wasn't a nay-sayer. But the fact that his heart wasn't right with God ends up being revealed. And so that's also probably the reason why he actually uses the phrase, I suppose. Mm. Because he wasn't somebody that was hard one way or the other. And that's why he used rabbi. But because he wasn't one way or the other, he also didn't do the customary greetings. Mm-hmm. So what are the customary greetings that they would have expected? When a person showed up to the house, there is a certain way in their culture that they would greet. I don't know, how do you greet when you see somebody? I hug.
But I do too.
I hug. I hug both female and males. But I hug a different way, and that, you know, I have a certain way I will do it so that, you know, and, but I have learned that there are certain people that aren't comfortable with that, so I await to see on, you know, because I don't want to put somebody in discomfort. In their culture, it was to put your hand on the shoulder, sorry, my hands are cold, Sandy, and then to greet the cheek with a kiss, so they go like that, and so it's a touch on the shoulder, as a, like a welcome, and then a kiss on the cheek. And he didn't do either. Mm-mm. And so he didn't do the touch of the welcome of the person, and then he didn't do the kiss on the cheek. And then the second thing that was an expectation, because they are traveling, they wear sandals. It's muddy. It's dirty. The feet are really gross. Cold water was always kept at the door. And before a guest would enter, they would pour the cold water to freshen the feet. because of how the table setting was set in the East. In the East, they had the tables low to the ground, mm-hmm. and they had pillows that would go around, and they would recline on the left forearm with their body stretched out, with their feet pointed out. And then the right hand was used to take the food and drink. And it was almost like they're lying in a reclining position, yes.
Hmm. I wonder how that works for reflux.
I don't know.
I think that would be hard.
But
yeah.
but that is that was their custom. That is how the wealthy
did
dined.
Did I know that?
And it wasn't with chairs sitting at a table in a formal way. That didn't come until actually later. And I don't know when chairs actually entered in, but, you know, it was kind of they would sit or they would recline. And they would have the feet away from
the table.
And because they would be on pillows, they did not want people's feet dirty. That was the other reason they would make sure that the feet were washed.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just so much, so it had dual, you know, keep their feet, you know, refresh them, but also so that they weren't putting their dirty feet on your pillows mm-hmm. that they were reclining on. Okay, so
that's interesting. He didn't offer that.
He didn't do any of it.
No.
And
did he do it to the other guests or just not?
It doesn't say.
I know.
Who knows? But you would think the honored guest.
Yeah,
definitely. Right. The other thing is that because the sun was so weary and they walked everywhere, they didn't have the shade that we have. Don't know if they had umbrellas back then. I doubt it. But they may have. Who knows? They did tents. Their faces would be scorched from the sun. And so it was a welcomed greeting to give them the oil and to wipe the rose oil across their forehead to help them with the beating of the sun and just the weary of what they'd had. And so he didn't do that. He didn't provide any of it when Jesus came in. And the other thing that is a custom that we have to know as we look at this passage, once a woman is married in their culture back then, what was married, before marriage, her hair was allowed to be down and to be seen because she's considered a young lady. The minute she gets married, a woman's hair in their culture must be bound up and is to never be seen publicly again. Culturally, that would not have been acceptable. And so the fact that she allowed her hair out and down and then to wipe his feet means that she totally forgot. She was amongst her city, and her focus was 100% on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so we have to understand she was tunnel vision about Jesus because she broke all rules by doing that. And, you know, then the other custom, we talked about this before the radio, and you guys can't see, but I did bring in props. You know, it's not visual here, sorry. And I had a friend that had gone to Israel, and I have, you can't smell it either, but I do have the tea rose that they, the rose that they would have used. And then what, something similar, this is actually made of abalone. But the alabaster jar is typically pictured in all the pictures that I grew up with in Sunday school and stuff. It's huge. You have this visual of this woman walking in with this great big huge jar, but the reality is it was probably a little vial that was on a rope or a chain that she carried around inside her blouse that she would have taken out and poured because the oils were so expensive, and that's what she would have used. And they kept them around their neck because then they could freshen themselves throughout the day. And so those were some of the customs that...
I mean, you think about that. If it's that expensive, it's definitely not a huge...
No. Why would somebody have... We don't carry... We don't even to freshen our house, it's not a huge jar.
No.
It just takes a little bit of a fragrance, you know. The other thing is that they might have, like, frankincense or myrrh or the rose oil actually burning in the house as a fragrant offering for when guests come, too, which I thought was kind of interesting considering our culture with candles and...
Mm-hmm.
Potpourri and stuff, that is actually something that they did back then, that they would burn the oils in the house, and they had like little clay pots that they would put in a wick and olive oil and then put the oil in it so that it would fragrant the house. It's kind of fun to hear,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
It's really interesting that if Simon were such a social suck-up,
coming from the mouth of a young one.
If he was so concerned with just, you know, getting his in with Jesus and making sure that, you know, he had all these guests of honor, and if his only motivation were to improve his social standing by associating with Jesus, that he would be so inept at providing these social respects, and that he, I mean, if this is, I mean, it doesn't even say that he even thought about providing these things for Jesus. It doesn't make a big deal out of him specifically not doing that until Jesus is like, you should have done this, and you didn't. So it's interesting that he wouldn't have thought it normal, or at least he didn't think it normal to treat Jesus with that respect.
What does that kind of tell you a little bit about Simon, the Pharisee? I mean, character-wise, you know, just maybe...
It's kind of about himself.
I was going to say self-absorbed.
Because even, it's interesting, like you were saying, it's like if this is what they typically did, I mean, you would think that he would kind of have a something that would entice other people.
I know.
I mean, it's like, look at me, this is what I do. Because if you're a big entertainer, you get out your fine china. I mean, you really try and impress by doing that.
Yeah.
But it's like maybe he didn't think he had to because he had this status.
Yeah, he may have been somebody of really high import. Like, you know, if you go to a celebrity's house and they don't treat you well, it's like, well, it doesn't really matter because they're famous. So maybe he was just so important that he thought he was.
I think it could go both ways. You know, I had this happen to me the other day. My person who normally cuts mine and Michaela's hair, Tiffany, wasn't available for Michaela's haircut, and we had to get it done for senior pictures, so she recommended a place. And it's connected to a store, and so while I was waiting for Michaela, I walked in. I had no idea, but apparently it was a very fancy store. I was not acknowledged. I was not greeted. Mm. They didn't welcome me by eye contact. They made a snap judgment. This is not my clientele. This is somebody who's just killing time because of an appointment next door. And I walked through the whole store and looked, and boy, their snap judgment was pretty correct, because one blouse was $1,000.
Oh my goodness.
and so I definitely was not a part of their clientele. But what happens is that we can get so caught into the snap judgments that it stops us in what is basic social protocol. And wondering if that's what happened, is that he allowed snap judgments that, even though we don't know the reasons why, to stop him from the social protocol. So you need to come back next week, because we're going to be talking about some of the heart issues that were being dealt with in this circumstance. God bless.